Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
George Atkins at Northwest Indemnity.
Oh, hiya, Georgie.
How'd you like to go to New York, Johnny, and get into the game, mad world of the theater?
Thanks a lot, Georgie, but no thanks. I'm not the grease paint type.
I know, but Amy Bradshaw is...
Amy Bradshaw?
Yeah, we wrote a policy on her a couple years ago.
Look, if it's her autograph you want, why send me?
It's not that simple. Anyhow, she's got all the fans she wants.
I know. I'm one of them. I think she's great.
Johnny, looks like somebody's trying to kill her.
Georgie, I'll be right over.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Northwestern Indemnity Alliance, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Amy Bradshaw matter. Expense account item one, $16.50. Transportation and incidentals to New York City. I checked in at a hotel and then went over to the Criterion Theater on West 44th, where Amy was starring in a play called The Unguarded Hour. David Coleman, the director, was standing in the wings watching the third act on stage. David Coleman?
Yes?
I'm Johnny Dollar, insurance investigator, sent over by Northwestern Indemnity.
Oh, yes, Mr. Dollar, I called them. Let's go over here where we can talk.
Okay. How's the play going?
Well, 22 weeks now. Been going along just fine until this business came up.
How did it start?
Last evening, just before curtain time, I dropped by Amy's dressing room. She looked, well, strange.
How so?
Pale, trembling. She was staring at a note in her hand. It sounded like some sort of crank note. You know, you are an evil woman. You will be punished by sudden death, unquote.
Have you reported this to the police?
Oh, no. I was afraid that if I did, it might get into the papers, and we don't want that kind of publicity.
I see. How about if I talk to Amy after the show?
I told her you'd be down, and she'll talk to you.
All good. Well...
Mr. Dollar... The strain of this whole thing's beginning to show up in her performance. She's making mistakes, and it rattles the cast, especially the young ingenue, Sheila Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll see what I can do. There's always the possibility that it is just a crank note and that Amy will never hear any more of it.
Well, that's what I'm hoping.
But we might as well face another possibility, that somebody close to Amy is using the crank note as a cover. Has that thought ever occurred to you?
Why, no. No, it hasn't, Mr. Dollar.
We will continue with the Bradshaw matter in a moment.
I waited for Amy Bradshaw in her dressing room at the theater. 15 minutes later, after the final curtain, she swept in.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Dollar.
I'd never seen her from closer than the 15th row before, and needless to say, I was impressed. But I didn't have a chance to say so.
Did you think the second act?
I didn't have a chance to say anything.
Oh, well, that's the way it goes. If you'll just give me a minute to get some of this makeup off.
Now.
Hi.
I knew it was only a question of time until you ran down.
Oh, sorry. I guess I get a little overcharged out on the stage.
Sure.
Listen, it's nice meeting you, Mr. Dollar, and I know why you've come down here, but I think you're wasting your time.
Oh? Yeah.
This whole thing's really pretty silly, you know.
I hope so, Miss Bradshaw.
You mean Amy.
Okay, Amy. See, look, how about having a drink with me somewhere? We can talk about it.
I'd love to, but I'm afraid I have a date tonight. Could we make it tomorrow, maybe?
Sure, okay, anytime.
Excuse me. Come in. Oh, Mike.
Well, hello, Amy. I'm sorry, I didn't know you had company.
That's all right. This is Johnny Dollar. Johnny, Mike Pomeroy, my agent.
Mr. Pomeroy.
How are you?
What'd you think of it tonight, Mike?
Well, they seemed to like it okay.
Oh.
Tell you what, Amy, I'll see you tomorrow, eh?
Tomorrow, Mike?
I've got a few things I've got to take care of tonight. Contracts to go over, you know, things like that.
Oh, of course.
Well, glad to meet you, Dollar. Night, Amy.
Is that offer of a drink still good, Johnny?
Well, sure, but I thought you said you have... Oh, sure, let's go.
Thanks for understanding.
Anywhere in particular?
There's a little place right down the street, small and quiet.
Good.
Oh.
What's the matter?
Would you mind if we crossed the stage and went out the other door?
Oh, no. Why?
I think someone's waiting for me outside this exit.
Oh.
Sort of a friend of mine, Porter Kane, but he can be a little wearing, and I'm rather tired.
Sure. I could see him through the open door, a thin-faced, rather elegant-looking man in a black Homburg. We went out the other side and down the street to a bar a few doors away. Item 2 on expense account, $4, drinks. After the first one, Amy relaxed a little. I wanted to get her talking about herself, and it wasn't too tough to do.
There's not really much to tell about me. I've been acting a long time. Sometimes it seems too long. I've come a long way. Some people would say up. I hope it is.
You make it sound pretty simple, Amy.
I guess we do what we have to. All of us. I had to act, so...
So, just like that, huh?
Just like that.
You've always gotten everything you wanted, haven't you?
I think so.
Hasn't anyone ever gotten in your way?
No, Johnny, that's never happened. If it did...
It looks to me like somebody's standing in your way right now.
What do you mean?
That threatening letter you got the other day.
I told you, the whole thing's silly. There's nothing to it.
Now, that's what you told me, but I don't think you believe it.
Okay. So maybe I have worried a little about it. I wouldn't have if it hadn't been... It was probably only my imagination.
What was, Amy?
Well, last night after the show, I felt like walking a little. I went west on 44th Street to Times Square. As usual, it was crowded. I stood on the curb waiting for the light to change, and suddenly I got shoved out into the street.
Oh?
Right out into the traffic. I jumped back just in time.
You see who did it?
How can you tell in a crowd like that?
I know.
It was probably only coincidence that it happened right after I got that note, but... Oh, Johnny, I still just can't believe anybody's really trying to do me harm, but... I guess what's been making me nervous during the performance is staring out at that blackness past the footlights, wondering if there's somebody out there who hates me.
Uh-huh.
I guess I can't stand being hated, Johnny. I've got to be loved.
Look, Amy... Did it ever occur to you this might not be a crank out in the audience, that it might be someone closer to you?
What? Johnny, that's impossible.
Isn't?
I don't have many friends. They've mostly to do with the play, but those I have are good ones.
Who else besides your agent, Pomeroy? How about the director?
David Coleman. He's a very old friend and one of the best.
How about the producer?
Emery's the last person in the world who'd wish me harm. On a dollars and cents basis, if nothing else. He and Dora both.
Dora?
His wife. I like her very much.
Does she like you?
Why shouldn't she?
What about this man you wanted to duck tonight, the one who was waiting outside the theater?
Porter Kane? Oh, he's a sort of a fan, I guess. A little eccentric, maybe, but he's been very good to me. Johnny, really, it couldn't be any of them.
Maybe. Maybe not. Look, Amy, I was sent down here because Northwestern Indemnity holds a policy on you.
I know.
Now, who's the beneficiary?
William York.
Who's he?
My husband.
Oh. I didn't know you were married.
We separated 6 months ago. What I wanted, he didn't. What he wanted, I didn't. It's as simple as that.
Well, where is he now?
Here in New York somewhere, I guess. I don't know. He's a writer, sort of. Johnny, I'm tired.
Oh, yeah, sure, you must be. I'm sorry I kept you so long.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that. It's been nice. Very nice. It's funny. I seem to relax a little when I'm with you.
We let that one lay and went outside. Item 3 on expense account, $2, taxi to Amy's apartment. There was a car parked 2 doors down with a man just sitting in it. I saw Amy give it a quick look. Then as she said goodnight to me at the door, I noticed that she slipped the catch on it. I sauntered across the street and stepped into the shadows. A moment later, the door of the parked car opened and her agent, Mike Pomeroy, got out and went into the apartment house. Then I realized I wasn't the only one watching this. Half a block down the street, I could see a figure in a shadowy doorway. I ran toward him, but he took off around the corner. When I reached the corner, he was nowhere in sight. Amy might have been taking this thing only half seriously, but I was real serious about it now. She said she had some very nice friends. But I had a strong hunch that one of these very nice friends was out to kill her.
Here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's episode of the Amy Bradshaw Matter.
Tomorrow, the Criterion Theater again, and a third act curtain that wasn't in the script. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Robert Reif, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking. From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
Al Sintella down at precinct headquarters, Johnny.
Oh, hi, Al.
Sorry I missed your call a few minutes ago. What's on your mind?
An actress named Amy Bradshaw.
Amy, one of my favorites.
Me too. But right now I seem to be looking for a guy who doesn't feel that way about her.
Huh?
Al, it looks like somebody's trying to kill Amy Bradshaw.
Better come down here and tell me all about it.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location New York City, to the Northwestern Indemnity Alliance, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Amy Bradshaw matter. The threat of an attempt on her well-insured life. Expense account item 5, $1.75. Cab from my hotel to precinct headquarters to talk to Detective Lieutenant Al Sintella. Al looked about the same as the last time I'd seen him. Rugged, competent, maybe a few pounds heavier.
Sit down, Johnny, sit down.
Thanks.
Something about Amy Bradshaw, you said.
Yeah.
Didn't know you were a friend of hers.
Northwestern Indemnity holds a $25,000 life insurance policy on her. Here, take a look at this note. Amy got it several days ago.
You are evil. You will be punished by sudden death. Oh, come on now, Johnny.
A couple of nights ago, after the show, somebody shoved Amy off the curb and out into the traffic over in Times Square.
Well, the same thing happens to me almost every time I'm around Times Square. You know what I smell in all this?
Oh, sure. You probably smell a publicity stunt.
I sure do.
You think I'd fall for a thing like that?
You known Amy Bradshaw very long?
No. I'd seen her in a few shows, but last night was the first time I'd ever met her in person.
If I didn't know you pretty well, I'd say you might be getting a little stage struck on her.
Uh-huh. What about the man who trailed Amy to her apartment last night?
Oh? Who?
I don't know. I chased him, but he had too much of a lead on me.
I still wouldn't go jumping to any conclusions. Who you got to work on, for instance?
Well, for one, David Coleman, her director. Then there's the producer, Emery Taylor, and his wife, Dora. From what Amy said, I gather Dora doesn't like her very well.
Anybody else?
Then there's her agent, Mike Pomeroy. She seems to be pretty wrapped up in him.
Whole stable full, huh?
Yeah, looks like it. Also, a fellow named Porter Kane, who's usually hanging around the theater waiting for Amy. And finally, the man I really came to talk to you about.
Who's that?
Name is Bill York, her husband, but they're separated.
Oh?
She doesn't know where he is.
You figure he might tie in somehow?
He is the beneficiary of Amy's insurance policy.
Well, I'll see if I can turn up an address on him for you.
Okay, thanks, Al. In the meantime, I think I'll pay a call on this Porter Kane. See if I can find out just how good a fan he is. Expense account item 6, 225. Cab to the apartment of Porter Kane in the East 70s. It was an expensive-looking place. I got there about noon, but Porter Kane was just finishing breakfast, accompanied by Chopin.
May I offer you a cup of coffee, Mr. Dollar?
Oh, thanks. A black, please.
Yes. Now, you came to see me about Amy Bradshaw, I believe.
That's right, Mr. Kane. I represent Northwestern Indemnity Alliance. They hold a policy on Miss Bradshaw.
You perhaps want some sort of character reference on her?
You, might put it that way.
Well, in that case, you couldn't have come to one better qualified than I. You see, Amy is my career at present.
Afraid I don't understand, Mr. Kane.
Well, some years ago, I was relieved of the sordid but customarily necessary task of working for my bread and butter. The result is that I've been able to devote myself to a fascinating hobby.
What kind of a hobby?
I collect things.
Oh?
The objects of my interest vary, but they all have one thing in common.
Ah?
This signet ring I'm wearing, for instance.
Yes, I noticed it. Very unusual.
The crest is that of the Medici family, Renaissance Italy. The only ring of its kind in the world, so far as any of the authorities on that period are aware. That vase on the table, the painting on the wall, that sculpture.
One of a kind, huh?
Precisely. Which brings us quite logically to Amy, who is clearly one of a kind.
So?
So I plan to add Amy to my collection.
Just like that, huh?
I'm certain Amy will see it my way in time. And I have time. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must dress for the matinee. Will I see you again, Mr. Dollar?
Yes. You probably will, Mr. Kane. I was glad to get out of the hothouse atmosphere of Kane's apartment. Real weird, this character. And I had a hunch I'd better keep an eye on him. Item 7, $1.65, cab fare that evening to the Criterion Theater. I arrived half an hour before curtain time and headed for Amy's dressing room. Then as I approached her door...
You'll listen real careful. I'll give it to you once again. You've been tossing wrong cues to Sheila for 3 nights now. You've been doing everything you can to upstage her and make her look bad.
Mike, it's just that I've been nervous lately. Maybe I have made a few mistakes in my life.
Amy... You know I've got plans for Sheila, and I don't want her looking bad in this play.
You've got plans for Sheila. What about us?
Amy, we can talk about that some other time. But for now, I just want you to understand. You're to lay off Sheila. I mean it.
Is that a threat, Mike?
Take it any way you like.
It sounded like Pomeroy was coming outside, so I ducked around behind a piece of scenery and waited a moment. Then I went back to Amy's door.
Oh, Johnny.
Hello, Amy. You look tired.
I am. I just had a little go-around with Mike.
Pomeroy?
Uh-huh. I've been fluffing some of my lines lately. He seems to think I've been doing it deliberately to make Sheila Mitchell look bad. But he's wrong. Have you found out anything yet, Johnny?
No, not much.
I still can't believe there's anything to it. It's so silly to let it upset me. Silly even to give it a thought.
Well, try not to, Amy. Let me worry about it.
All right. Did I ever tell you it's nice having you around, Johnny?
I left the dressing room and started for the alley door, but somebody stepped out in front of me. It was Mike Pomeroy.
Hello, Dollar.
Oh, Hi, Pomeroy.
I was just talking to Dave Coleman, the director. He told me he was the one who sent for you. He told me why.
You didn't know about the threatening letter Amy got?
No, I didn't. Look, Dollar, every actress I've ever known has gotten at least one note like that during her career.
You don't think this should be taken too seriously, then?
No. Amy's pretty nervous these days, and as long as you're around stirring things up, she'll be worried about it. If there's anything to be done about it, I can handle it.
In other words, you want me to mind my own business, that it?
You said that, Dollar. I didn't. It might not be a bad idea.
Funny thing. When somebody tells me to lay off a case, my interest in it always doubles. After the final curtain, I went backstage to wait for Amy. The stage door was open, and I could see Porter Kane waiting in the alley outside. So I went over to him.
Well, Mr. Dollar, good evening.
Hello, Kane. On duty again tonight?
Perhaps that's one way of putting it. I thought I might have a little chat with Amy after she's changed.
I'm afraid she has a date.
Oh? Do you happen to know with whom?
Yeah, me.
Mr. Dollar, are you suggesting that I'm to regard you as some sort of rival?
Not at all, Kane. I'm just suggesting that I'm a friend of Amy's.
I see. Good night, Mr. Dollar.
After Kane left, I stood beside the stage door and tried to figure out some of the angles on this case. There were too many of them. By the time I went in, the theater was dark, except for a dim light bulb over the stage, and everyone had gone. Everybody, that is, except Amy. I ran into the darkened theater. She was standing horrified next to the stairway by the dressing rooms, her eyes fixed on something that lay on the floor.
Johnny, I was on my way out to meet you. I heard a swish through the air. This heavy sandbag, it barely missed me. Oh, Johnny!
Stay back against the wall, Amy. You'll be okay there. I climbed the long ladder up to the catwalk above the stage where they sometimes use the sandbags to balance hunks of scenery. It was dark up there. I started edging along the catwalk. Suddenly, my foot hit a loose board. I almost lost my balance. A loose board that could have been left for me. And it was a long, long drop down to the stage. Whoever had been up there knew the theater pretty well. Finally, I went back down to Amy. She was trembling.
Johnny.
It's okay, Amy. It's okay.
Johnny. Maybe I didn't take it seriously before, but I do now. Somebody dropped that sandbag from up there deliberately. Somebody is trying to kill me, and I'm scared, Johnny. I'm scared.
Johnny Dollar will be back in a moment to tell you about tomorrow's episode. Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's episode of the Amy Bradshaw Matter.
Tomorrow, a man steps onto the stage from out of the past and into a role he doesn't want to play. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Robert Reif, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking. From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Al Sintel at police headquarters, Johnny.
Yeah, Al. You hear what happened at the Criterion Theater after the show last night?
I was off duty when you called, but Sergeant Rogers gave me a fill-in this morning. So somebody tried to drop a sandbag on Amy Bradshaw backstage.
Yeah, a real near miss. You still think these attempts on her life are publicity stunts?
Looks like your hunch was right. I'll have a couple of my boys keep an eye on Amy.
Thanks.
Johnny... You wanted to know the whereabouts of this guy, Bill York, the husband Amy separated from...
What have you got on him, Al?
768 West 4th Street, down in Greenwich Village.
Thanks, I'll check it.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. New York City, expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. To the Home Office, Northwestern Indemnity Alliance, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Amy Bradshaw matter. Expense account item 8, $275, taxi from my hotel to Greenwich Village to try and locate a writer named Bill York, who had separated from Amy 6 months ago. Amy was a good actress, but she couldn't hide the fact she was plenty scared by the attempts on her life in the last 3 days. My hunch was it was someone close to Amy, and Bill York was very much on my list. After all, he was the beneficiary on her life insurance policy. I hadn't been to this part of the village in 2 or 3 years, but from the looks of it, it hadn't changed a bit. Defiantly shabby and run down. A few beards here and there, a few gals with long, straight hair. Bookstores and bars, side by side. I checked at the address Al Centella had given me. It was a beat-up old rooming house.
Here to interview the famous writer, something like that?
Not exactly.
Oh, too bad. Here I thought you wanted to carry my message to America.
No, I'm afraid that's a little out of my department, Mr. York. Amy did mention that you were a writer.
I can tell you exactly what she said. She said, you know, Bill's a writer, sort of, right?
Well, as a matter of fact...
Amy always felt it necessary to apologize for me. That was one thing about our marriage that was always so charming.
Well, look, I didn't come here to discuss your marriage, York. I don't know what you're so bitter about. It's none of my business, but...
Why, darling, what do I have to be bitter about? Here I am, an artist, living an unfettered life of freedom in Greenwich Village. What more could I ask?
I guess I haven't read any of your books.
Don't worry about it. You're in good company. You and the publishers.
Oh, that's too bad. Must make a little problem in the grocery department.
Oh, that doesn't worry me. You see, one can always manage to live comfortably in huck.
Oh?
And if one is willing to huck his soul, of course the returns are much greater.
I don't get you.
That's not surprising, because nobody else but me would call it my soul. It's just the manuscript for an unpublished novel. 3 years of work and sweat and pain. But my clever pawnbroker, Mr. Pomeroy, has a fair idea what it means to me.
Mike Pomeroy, Amy's agent?
Charming chap. Quite shrewd.
In other words, if you could raise some money, you could get this brainchild of yours out of hock from him. Tell me, how long's it been since you've seen Amy?
Several months. Why?
You haven't been uptown near her apartment the last few days, huh?
No.
You sure?
Of course. Anything else?
No, not for now. I was getting nowhere in my attempt to find out who was gunning for Amy Bradshaw, and I knew it. I called Mike Pomeroy, her agent, but he was out, so I took the next name on my list, the producer of Amy's play, Emery Taylor. Expense account item 9, $175, cab fare to Taylor's apartment in the mid-50s near the Museum of Modern Art. Taylor wasn't in, but his wife Dora was. She was sleek-looking and a little on the brittle side. She was sitting behind a small bar in the den, and she looked quite at home there.
Drink?
Thanks. Will your husband be back soon, Mrs. Taylor?
Who knows? Here.
Oh, thank you.
What do you want to see him about?
Amy Bradshaw.
What about Amy Bradshaw?
I wanted to ask him if he knew of anyone who might want to harm Amy for any reason.
Oh, I could answer that better than Emery.
There is someone?
There certainly is.
Who?
Me.
Why?
Would you like it if your husband was knocking himself out for your... well, for a younger woman?
Well, now, isn't that part of the business?
Is it? That's not all. Amy's hurt plenty of people getting where she is.
You think your husband's one of them?
I hope not.
Who has she hurt, Mrs. Taylor?
Do you know Dave Coleman?
Her director?
He was very much in love with Amy a few months ago.
Oh, I see.
I don't like to see someone I like get the way he was. One night here, he had a couple too many. He said, if he couldn't have her...
Oh.
Funny how quick he got over it, though.
Never says anything about it anymore, huh?
Not a word.
What about Porter Kane?
Oh, you've met him.
Is he one of them that Amy's hurt?
No, no, he's not in that category. Whatever happened to hurt him must have happened at about the age of 5.
What do you mean?
Oh, isn't that when most of our troubles start?
I wouldn't know.
I once paid a psychiatrist $500 to tell me that's when mine started.
Your troubles?
Sure. Can't you tell, Mr. Dollard? I'm the mixed-up type.
Aren't we all, Mrs. Taylor? I left her still sitting behind the bar, and somehow I felt sorry for her. But she had given a new lead. David Coleman, Amy's director, who'd had it bad for Amy just a few months ago and had now completely recovered. Maybe. I made a mental note to have a little chat with Coleman that night. Then I put in another call to Mike Pomeroy. This time he was in, and I finally talked him into meeting me at a little bar on West 44th near the theater. But when I got there, I could see that he wasn't feeling very cooperative.
Look, Dollar, I suggested once before, nice and polite, that maybe you should try minding your own business.
I got the message, all right, Pomeroy, and now I've got one for you. I am minding my own business.
Hmm?
This is what I was hired to do. The insurance company I represent holds a pretty hefty life insurance policy on Amy. And if she's in any danger, they want to know about it.
But I told you before, I think this whole thing's pretty silly.
I had a talk with Bill York, the writer, this morning. Even though he and Amy are separated, you know, he's still the beneficiary on her policy.
So?
So he says he's in hock to you.
He's a bum. He wasn't doing Amy any good. She was worrying about him. When they split up, I told him as long as he stayed away from her, didn't try to see her, I'd keep him in groceries.
I see.
But naturally, I wanted some security.
The manuscript of his book, for instance?
Oh, great unborn American novel.
Well, apparently that manuscript means a lot to
him.
That's
why I figured it'd be good security. What's the matter, Dollar? You look like you smelled something bad.
Do I?
What am I supposed to be? A philanthropist?
Let me make one thing clear, Pomeroy. As far as the kind of loans you make, I agree with you. It's none of my business. But maybe I just got a sensitive nose.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, now I want my dough back. Is there anything wrong with that?
Not a thing.
I've got a play lined up I know will go over big. I want to produce it. York's tab has run up to several $1,000s now. I could use the money.
I see.
The stupid part of the whole deal is that York could pay me back within a couple of months if he wanted to.
Oh.
Sure. It's a lot of dough floating around to be made in television these days. But that prima donna thinks he's way above that sort of thing.
This play you want to produce, Pomeroy, will it star Amy?
No. Sheila Mitchell.
Oh. Well, thanks for the information. Be seeing you.
I doubt it.
On my way over to the Criterion Theater, I thought about Pomeroy. A rugged customer. And I felt he was one more who wouldn't let anyone stand in the way of anything he wanted to do. After the show, I picked up Amy backstage and took her back to her apartment. She looked very tired and didn't say much. We said goodnight at the front entrance, and I started walking along the sidewalk. Then I spotted somebody in the shadows across the street again, watching. I could tell from his hat and coat he was the same one who'd been there the night before last. I kept on walking until I reached the corner, then circled halfway around the block to an alley and edged up on him from behind. He didn't see me until I dove at him. Well, Bill York.
So, what are you doing here?
So you haven't been near Amy for a long time, huh? Except tonight and the night before last, watching her apartment.
Darling,
come on, York, start talking. And it better be good.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Robert Reif, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, Roy Rowan speaking. From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Al Sintel at police headquarters, Johnny.
Better get over here to my hotel room, Al. I've got company.
Who is it?
Bill York.
Amy Bradshaw's ex-husband?
Right. I caught him watching her apartment half an hour ago, and he's the one who was watching it the other night. This time I had better luck catching him.
Has he opened up yet?
No, but he will.
Johnny, take it easy with him.
I think he's got plenty to tell us. Looks like he's the boy we're after, Al.
I'll be right over.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. New York City, expense account submitted by special investigator Johnny Dollar. To the Home Office, Northwestern Indemnity Alliance, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Amy Bradshaw matter. Amy, star of a Broadway play, and somebody was out to get her. Expense account item 10, $3, repairs to one coat sleeve, torn in the process of inviting Bill York up to my hotel room.
Look, Dolly, you've got no right to drag me up here to your room this way.
York, you're going to sit right here until you open up and tell me all about the attempt on Amy Bradshaw's life.
What?
Here, come in. Oh, Al.
Hi, Johnny.
York, this is Detective Lieutenant Al Sintella.
Look here, Lieutenant, what's this all about?
Well, I kind of thought that's what you'd tell us, Mr. York.
But this is crazy. Why would I want to kill Amy?
You're aware that you're still the beneficiary on Amy's insurance policy.
What? Even if
also,
I am...
Also, you need money, and you need it bad. You're several thousand bucks in debt to Mike Pomeroy, Amy's agent. He's been pressing you for it lately.
Look, Dollar.
And you know you can't get the manuscript of your novel out of hock from him until you pay off. You've got two strikes against you, York. Motive and opportunity.
Opportunity? Sure, but motive? No, Dollar. I've never had any reason to kill Amy. It's true she and I couldn't make it together, but I guess that was more my fault than hers.
Go on.
You see, Amy's never let anything stand in the way of what she wanted. What she wanted, I didn't. I guess we just lived in two different worlds.
What do you mean?
He's always been a success, and I've always been a failure.
You still haven't explained why you lied to me, York.
Lied?
When I talked to you this morning, you told me you hadn't been near Amy for a long time. But when I caught up with you in front of her apartment tonight, I realized you were the same one who was watching it night before last.
How about that, York?
You fellows don't believe me much.
What do you mean?
Sure, once in a while I go stand outside her apartment house, look up at the light in the window... Maybe think a little about how things might have been. That's all.
Maybe you better come downtown with me, York. We'll check your story further. If you're clean, you got nothing to worry about.
All right, Lieutenant.
Sergeant, take Mr. York down to the car and wait for me there. Johnny? Who else have you talked to?
Oh, everybody close to her. But the one who interests me most is her agent, Mike Pomeroy. He'd be a pretty rough customer when he wants to. And he thinks Amy's standing in the way of a career for an actress he's currently interested in.
Let's talk about somebody else for a moment.
Who?
You, Johnny. I think you're getting a little bit out of line.
What do you mean?
Down at police headquarters, we got a little black book. It tells us what to do and what not to do. It doesn't say anything about insurance investigators dragging possible suspects to their hotel room to question them.
Listen, Al, when I'm assigned to a case, I usually try to break it any way I can.
I know. It's just that I think you're taking this case pretty big.
Meaning?
Yesterday I told you that if I didn't know you better, I'd think you were falling for Amy a little yourself. Think it over, Johnny.
Expense account item 11, $4, drinks. For me. I thought about what Al Sintella had said. The possibility I was falling for Amy Bradshaw. Thought about it for 2 hours. Finally, I decided I had to find out if he was right. I went over to Amy's apartment.
It was good of you to come over, Johnny. I just can't seem to sleep lately.
Yeah.
I noticed there's a policeman on duty down in the lobby.
Lieutenant Sintella arranged for that.
It's funny. Should make me feel better, but it doesn't. Just keeps reminding me of it. Threat on my life. I'm glad you're here, Johnny.
So am I.
Awfully glad. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but...
Do you hear any objections?
Oh, now, who could... Excuse me.
Yeah, sure.
Hello? Yes? Oh, Porter. What? No, I'm sorry. No, really, Porter, it's out of the question. No, Good night, Porter.
Kane, huh?
Yes, I suppose he means well. But he can be rather annoying. Do you have a cigarette, Johnny?
Here.
Thanks. You seem rather quiet tonight.
Oh, just thinking, I guess.
It's funny.
Hmm.
Our meeting like this.
Yeah.
Just a few days ago, I didn't know you at all. And now...
And now what?
I don't know, Johnny. I don't know.
Amy.
It was a mistake, Johnny. I'm sorry.
Was it?
Yes. Johnny, I'm afraid I've hurt a couple of people in the past. I don't want to hurt you.
Don't worry, you won't.
And that's the wonderful thing about being an actress. You play so many parts.
The kiss? That was playing a part, huh?
Even if it weren't, Johnny, it'd be no good. There'd always be something between us. It's right over there on the mantel.
The clock?
Yes. We can't turn it back. If I'd met you a long time ago before Mike, or... But I didn't.
No.
So?
Is the clock so bad, Amy?
It is to an actress. Sometimes I pretend it isn't there. You ever do that, John?
No, it doesn't do any good.
But you can try. You can live a whole life trying. Isn't that really what we all do?
I don't know.
We go along playing our parts, doing what we have to do, pretending the clock isn't there. But all the while it is. And though we keep on fighting against it, we know we can't turn it back. We can't even stop it.
One thing I'd accomplished, I guess. I'd decided I wouldn't be seeing Amy anymore after this case was wound up. Winding it up, though, was another question, and I was still as far from home as ever on it. But I couldn't seem to get Porter Kane and his quaint little hobby of collecting things out of my mind.
Why, good evening, Mr. Dollar.
Hello, Mr. Kane.
Come in.
Thanks. I know it's late. I'm sorry.
Not at all. As a matter of fact, I was hoping I'd see you again.
I don't want to keep you. I see your hat and coat.
No, there. I'm not going out. I've just come in.
Oh. You said you were hoping you'd see me again?
Yes, I enjoyed our other little chat very much. I suppose you came to talk some more about Amy Bradshaw.
Matter of fact, Mr. Kane, I came to talk about you.
Splendid.
And about your hobby.
Collecting. A fascinating hobby, Mr. Dollar.
You take it pretty seriously, don't you?
I've devoted most of my life to it. And I may say that I've succeeded rather brilliantly with it. Each item in my collection is incomparable, without equal.
Yeah, one of a kind.
And that, of course, is precisely why Amy is necessary to complete the collection. The crowning and final edition.
Final?
Yes. For your information, Mr. Dollar, when I've acquired Amy, I intend to cease my hobby.
Oh.
She will complete my collection. Without her, though, it is still incomplete.
Mind if I ask you a couple of questions, Mr. Kane?
Not at all.
You seem to have been pretty successful with your collection. Have you ever run up against an item you wanted but couldn't get?
Of course not. That just doesn't happen.
Has it ever happened?
I can't remember that it ever... Yes. Yes, it did happen once.
When?
When I was 9 years old. A playmate of mine had a lollipop that I admired greatly. He wouldn't give it to me, and he wouldn't sell it to me.
What did you do?
I did the only logical thing there was to do. I smashed the lollipop, Mr. Dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood, written by Robert Reif. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking. From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
It's Amy Bradshaw, Johnny.
Amy, it's 1 a.m. Anything the matter?
Yes, can you come over right away?
Sure, your apartment?
No, I'm in my dressing room at the Criterion Theater.
At 1 o'clock in the... Amy, there's a policeman assigned to you. Is he with you?
No, I went out the back way. I came over here alone.
But why? He's supposed to be protecting you.
Johnny, I can't explain now, but I think I finally know who's been trying to kill me. I want to talk to you right away over here. Hurry, please hurry.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. New York City, expense account submitted by special investigator Johnny Dollar to the Home Office, Northwestern Indemnity Alliance, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Amy Bradshaw matter. Expense account item 12, $5. Taxi from my hotel to the Criterion Theater on West 44th. $2 for the fare, $3 for getting me there in 5 minutes. Amy had sounded plenty scared over the phone. The cab skidded to a stop in front. I caught a glimpse of somebody at the other corner of the theater. It looked like Porter Kane. I couldn't be sure, and I didn't have time to find out right now. Backstage was quite dark, and I had to feel my way through some... The shot came from the direction of Amy's dressing room. Mike Pomeroy, her agent, was lying on the floor, dead. There was a gun on the floor, too, just inside the door.
Johnny! Oh, Johnny!
What happened, Amy? Amy, stop it! Tell me what happened.
The door!
Door?
The shot! It came from the door!
I ran outside the dressing room, across the stage, into the alley. No one in sight. Back inside, I found a light switch. So I phoned Al Centella at police headquarters, told him what had happened. Amy was quieter now.
Johnny.
Amy, look. Look, I know it's tough for you to talk right now, but you've got to try and tell me.
I know. A little after midnight, Mike called me at my apartment. He said he wanted to talk to me about something important. His office is nearby, and he asked me to meet him here in my dressing room. So I came over right away.
Go on.
Mike and I started talking. Suddenly, I saw the door opening a crack. A hand with a gun. Mike. Mike!
Easy, easy.
Mike saw it, too. He dove in between me and the door.
And collected the slug.
He fell against the door and it slammed on the hand. The gun dropped. And the next thing I remember, you were in the room.
You didn't see who was holding the gun?
No, just the hand.
Amy.
There was something on one of the fingers that I recognized.
A large signet ring?
Yes.
Yeah. It belonged to the guy out on the sidewalk. Porter Kane. Lieutenant Centella arrived at Amy's dressing room, and Amy repeated her story to him. He sent a couple of his boys out to pick up Porter Kane. Al and Amy and I went down to headquarters. We left her in one room while we went into another to question Kane, who'd been picked up at his apartment.
See here, Lieutenant, I don't know what this is all about, but I certainly object to being routed out...
Just hold it, Kane. You know why you're down here.
I certainly do not.
You don't know that Mike Pomeroy's dead, eh?
Amy's agent? Really?
Really.
Well, I never did like that chap. Quite an insensitive person.
Well, he's real insensitive now, Kane. He's dead.
How did it happen?
Mike was shot by mistake. The real target was Amy.
Good heavens, no.
When's the last time you saw Amy?
The night before last. I spoke to her briefly after the show.
You haven't talked to her on the telephone?
No.
You're lying.
Now, see here,
Dollar. You phoned her at her apartment about 11 p.m. I was there.
All right. I did telephone her. I suggested she meet me somewhere. I told her I'd wait for her outside her apartment.
Go on.
I saw her come out later by the alley, so I followed her to the theater, thinking she meant for us to talk there. But then I heard a shot.
So you admit being in the vicinity?
Well, yes, but I definitely did not go into the theater.
Didn't you? Kane, Amy got a look at the hand holding the gun. There was a ring on one of the fingers.
Ring?
Your ring.
She's completely mistaken.
That's a very distinctive ring. It's not one that anybody be mistaken about.
See here, Lieutenant, all of this wild supposition is based on the assumption that I had a motive for wanting to kill Amy.
You told me what your motive was when I talked to you last evening in your apartment.
What do you mean?
I asked you what you'd do if you wanted something for your collection and couldn't get it. You told me a story about what happened when you were just a kid 9 years old.
But I said...
Another kid had a lollipop you wanted. He wouldn't give it to you, so you smashed it. And that's what you were trying to do tonight in Amy's dressing room. You couldn't have her, so you tried to smash her. There wasn't much point in my hanging around. So I got Al Centella's permission to take Amy back to her apartment. We could wait there for any new developments. Amy didn't say a word all the way. When we got there, she sat in a chair staring at the wall. When she finally spoke, it was more like she was talking to herself.
He's dead.
Amy.
He's dead because of me.
Stop talking that way. Mike Pomeroy jumped in the way of a bullet. If he hadn't, you'd be dead.
Would have been better that way.
Stop it, Amy.
Johnny?
Yeah.
I think...
You think what? Oh, just a minute. I'll get it. It was Al Centella down at police headquarters. When he finished talking, I didn't say anything. There wasn't anything to say. After I hung up, I stood there a moment, staring out the window. It had started to rain. I felt old and tired and empty and sick. I went back into the other room again. Amy was sitting there looking at me.
Johnny?
Yeah, Amy?
Is that call for me?
No.
Who was it?
Lieutenant Centella.
Oh.
The gun that killed Mike Pomeroy. There were no fingerprints on it. You said you saw a bare hand with a ring on it holding the gun. A bare hand would have left fingerprints. You killed him, didn't you?
Yes, Johnny.
The attempts on your life, you faked them, didn't you, to convince people you were in danger so you could kill Pomeroy and we'd think the shot was intended for you. Why, Amy?
You know why.
Yeah, I guess so. You loved Mike. You knew he was growing away from you.
So fast. So very fast.
You saw him get interested in a younger actress. You knew she was taking your place with him.
To Mike, I was dead. I couldn't stand that. I really couldn't. So I started making it look like I was in danger. It wasn't very hard, Johnny. I'm a good actress.
Yeah.
After a while, I almost began to believe I was in danger. That something was after me. Was hunting me. It finally caught up with me and I... did what I did. Which of us is the hunter, Johnny? And which is the hunted?
Amy.
Yes.
I think one of Lieutenant Centella's men is waiting for you out in the hall.
All right. Just one thing, Johnny.
What is it?
I'll need something now. Something. Don't forget me, Johnny. Give me that.
That you can count on, Amy. She walked out of the room, and she didn't look back. I'm glad she didn't. The Expense account item 13, $16.50. Transportation and incidentals from New York back to Hartford. Expense account total, $185.20. End of account, end of report. Remarks? Amy repeated her confession to Lieutenant Centella. Her trial's coming up soon. Sweet case. Well, tomorrow's another day. So they tell me. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar will return in a moment to tell you about next week's intriguing story. Now, here's our star to tell you about next week's exciting story.
Next week, a case with a great big question mark. Accident, suicide, or just plain murder? Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Robert Reif, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in this week's cast were Virginia Gregg, Florence Walcott, Don Diamond, Larry Thor, Vic Perrin, and Carlton Young. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Be sure to join us on Monday night, same time and station, for another exciting story of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Roy Rowan speaking.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big.